This is Writer's Cast, a podcast about books and authors. I'm your host, David Wilk. Today I'm talking to Anna Godberson about a novel called The Blonde. Hi, Anna. How are you?
Hi, I'm good.
Good. Well, I want to tell you that I love this book. You know, it's a historical period I'm really interested in. The Blonde, for people who are listening and can't see the cover, is Marilyn Monroe. And this novel is a reimagining of her life in a really interesting way. And maybe you could talk a little bit about what inspired you to write about Marilyn Monroe.
Well, it was actually had a very, I guess I could say, not exactly organic beginning. I was just goofing around with my editor and we came up with that idea and thought, that sounds neat. And I didn't actually know that much about Marilyn at the time. I mean, I knew, had seen her movies and knew sort of the basic legend of Marilyn, but I hadn't had any particular fascination. But sort of as soon as that idea struck me, I got off the phone and I immediately began writing from her point of view in the first person, which that didn't end up in the final book, but it was like I had the voice almost immediately before I knew that much about her. And I that more than anything compelled me to keep going. It just sort of had this life of its own in my mind. And then, you know, once I started reading about her, I think this happens for many people. You get kind of obsessed. Like her life story is almost, you know, the details of the story are almost too good. It's like almost overwhelming to write about because what actually happened is so kind of crazy and every detail has so much resonance. And I think it fits so perfectly in that, you know, what was happening in America at the time with the Cold War, the themes are all really there and they all, you know, echo each other really beautifully. So yeah, I got obsessed as people do with Marilyn and yeah, that was the origin of this novel.
Well, that's interesting. So you were, it wasn't that you had been obsessed with her for a long time. It was an obsession that you took up more recently.
Yeah. I think, I hope served me in this book well, because I think I was able to, you know, once I had this idea of like, what if Marilyn Monroe were a Soviet spy and what if her affair with JFK began for that reason? I had to imagine her in a different way than we are used to thinking of her, which is, you know, how could a person who we think of as a victim and a drug addict, how could she have had the sort of control of herself and the concentration to collect intelligence and to, you know, to handle herself in dangerous situations? So I think, you know, the fact that I had a layman's understanding of Marilyn going in allowed me to imagine her as a tougher and more canny character than I think the sort of official Marilyn persona, the way we usually think of her.
Right. I did read a history or a biography of Marilyn Monroe. Now, it must have been a couple of years ago, and of course I cannot remember the name of the book or the author, but I interviewed her, the author, in this series, and you know, it was a very extensive, incredibly researched biography. And you know, I do think that Marilyn, or what I gained from that, was that she was an incredibly smart woman, and very, even though her public persona was one thing, I think her true self was another. And of course you really do that in the book quite well, in your novel.
Thank you.
But
yeah, I think that's true. And I think that when you look at both how long her image and her work has lasted in our culture and its power, and when you look at her performances even in really you know, sort of unremarkable films, you can see her, like, what personal power she had and what force. And you know, when you consider her upbringing and what she went through, I think it's really hard not to think that she did have incredible intelligence and incredible determination and force. And I think that's really interesting. And I think it's, you know, obviously, you know, as you said, there's, you know, there was this biography, there are so many books about her. And one of the things that I had to ask myself as I was writing this book is, you know, does the world need another book on Marilyn? And I hope it does. I had so much fun writing it. So, but I do think that is worth thinking about. Like, in what ways, what is the power that she had that we don't always honor when we think about her?
Right. Well, and one of the things I felt from reading your novel, and I take it as a novel. I read it as a work of fiction, not at all as biography, but that her awareness. You know, it's one thing to have charisma, which I think great actors inevitably have. There's an animalistic attraction, not just female, but male as well, that we respond to in actors, whether it's stage or screen or television. But I think in her case, it was not only that she had the charisma, and I think you sort of portrayed this in the way you imagined her, that she was in having realized the amount and the depth and weight of that charisma, that she could direct it, but also understand it, that she was aware enough, self-aware enough to be able to use herself, you know, to control herself in the world.
Yeah, I think that was true. I think she had a, you know, a good sense of her own value, and I think that she worked very hard in order to become as effective a performer as she was. I think she knew how much she had worked on it, and she knew how much she had tried. So, you know, I think both are true. I think there's also a way in which one of the reasons that she did continue to try and continue to try very hard was that on occasion she probably didn't know what her power was. And that is one of the pleasures of watching her, is that she had great power and she wasn't, she wasn't fully aware of it, and she didn't, you know, always, you know, there's a certain quality to her that is undemanding, you know, and that sort of, in a kind of pre-feminist way, and that's, you know, a kind of sad part about her persona. But I think both are true. I think she had a great sense of her own talent.
Yeah, and I think another thing that you did in this book that I responded to was to, by making her the kind of, and I'll use the word actor in a different way, she's the actor in the story. She's, she has agency in what happens in her life that helps explain some of the things that we have understood about what happened to her in a different way. You alluded to that at the very beginning when you first started talking about imagining her in this way, that you had to create a character who could do things. And she's, in that way, you kind of give us an alternative view that contradicts the accepted view of who she was.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, sort of her, both to give her agency, which I wanted, you know, the character in my book to give her agency, which was important. And you know, in terms of the kind of book I wanted to write and the kind of character I wanted to spend time with, and as a reader, the kind of character that I'd like to meet, that was really important. But I think it's also, you know, there's also this way in which part of her, the story of the historical Marilyn Monroe, is, you know, some part of that is about, you know, fantasy and reality, and, you know, that she was born in Hollywood, that she kind of imagined that becoming a movie star would save her life, and then she made herself into that, is so fascinating and resonant. And in my book, that she, you know, is continuing, that she's, the character is so driven by this fantasy of a father figure, and it leads her to warp her life and put herself in danger, even though the fantasy that she was chasing is
right. And of course, that makes it, you know, it gives it psychological veracity. And again, you kind of make that concrete. You know, you have characters in the story that, you know, that give you a chance to expound, you know, and give and to, you know, can illustrate what was going on with her. But she's also, you know, in this story, you've put her, you've kind of amplified some of the characters that historically we know about that she had contact with, like Sam Giancana and Frank Sinatra and Joe DiMaggio's in the book, sort of peripherally, but he's there as her protector. And of course, Arthur Miller, her husband, and the Kennedys, and Peter Lawford. You know, you've got all of the, everybody's there. And
a lot of cameos.
Right. And it's very, you know, I'm old enough to have been a young person during that time. It was pretty, you know, it's powerful for anyone who lived through it because you're bringing to life for us, you know, fictionally, characters that we know of. So we have the resonance of who we imagine them to be, and then you can make them into real people for us. I like that. You know, I like that period. It's a really, you know, it's a great period of time with lots of things going on. And I remember, you know, being aware of Marilyn's death as a kid. And, you know, it was a huge cultural event.
Yeah.
So, you know, you've put her in the middle of all of these incredible events that were, you know, they defined a period of American history.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's a way in which, I mean, I keep thinking about this, like the way those, like the image of JFK and the image of Marilyn Monroe are like so, it's as though they're all our mom and dad or something, you know, it's like they're stuck in time. They're these like original figures that, we are drawn to and over and over again.
That's true.
You know, and for me too, even though I was born a while after their
well,
passing.
Right, no, but it shows the power of the of those images. And of course, because they both died young, and you know, this sort of odd American thing that you would have the president, probably the most popular president, ends up being linked romantically to arguably the most popular and certainly the most powerful female figure in American life, who would be, of course, an actor. So a president and an actor together, that kind of really solidifies the cultural understanding of America.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and there's also all this, you know, what was happening at that time with, in terms of the, you know, the debates between Kennedy and Nixon being the first ones to be televised and how important that was, that, you know, his image is the kind of, you know, obviously there was television and movies before. It wasn't like that was totally new, but that he was in a certain way the first matinee idol president. And, you know, there, I don't know if this is true, but I've certainly read anecdotes of Joe Kennedy thinking of him that way and sort of propelling John Kennedy's political career with that in mind, that if he was a star, then he would be a new kind of politician. And that's also so, you know, just like one part of how this story is so great, you know, like it's almost too good to be true. Like the most famous movie star of her time, romantically linked with the most charismatic politician, with the most respected playwright, with the most idolized baseball player.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, in a way, that's true. It's almost like Olympus with the gods, you know.
Indeed, yeah. And you know, I think that's, you know, it's almost like, you know, dangerous territory for a writer. Like the story's already so good. Like, how could you do it justice? And I hope that I have, but one of the things that I wanted to do with the book was to have it not be about archetypes, but to, you know, to feel that Marilyn and JFK were alive and human and human scale. And
oh, and I thought you succeeded. They're very much human throughout. I don't think you played with, I mean, the archetypes are you can't stay away from them. I mean, as you were talking about that a minute ago, I was thinking, yeah, not only that, that you have Frank Sinatra, you know, the biggest singer of his time, and Sam Giancana, you know, the evil mafia boss. You know, it's, you've got everybody in a kind of pantheon of gods. But I yeah. You know, as when you're reading the book, in fact, they are all real life. I mean, I thought you got Arthur Miller really well. I don't know him personally, but, you know, from what I know of him. You know, I thought you were pretty accurate in the portraying the relationship between Marilyn and Arthur Miller, and kind of that was fraught from the very beginning.
Yeah, well, thank you.
And then you have Joe DiMaggio, again, a cameo, but he's kind of her reliable protector. And, you know, I think he did play that role for her.
Yeah, I believe so. I mean, all of these, you know, one of the big things I looked at while I was writing this book, I mean, she obviously has been photographed so much and had these very intense relationships with photographers. By all accounts, she was an incredible subject. So, you know, she worked hard to learn how to be a great subject. And, you know, but all of these people were very photographed. And there's I don't know if you've seen these, but there are, Joe DiMaggio, of course, organized her funeral and was very particular about who would be invited. And there's an incredible image of him as her coffin is taken away, and it is one of the most, you know, heartbreaking pictures of grief you will ever see. So that was one of the many things that I had in mind as I was writing.
Yeah. Now, there was one character, and actually two maybe, that I was curious about, and that is the young FBI agent whose mother is a Hollywood maven, essentially. Is he based on a real character, or did you make him up?
Oh, I made him up.
Yeah, I thought so, but I just was curious, you know, whether there had been somebody who might have, you know, inspired that guy.
Well, there, the FBI did keep a file on Marilyn, which has a lot of, is quite a large file, actually. So they were keeping tabs on her. But I don't know that they actually had somebody following her in the way that that Agent Walls follows Marilyn. But I wanted it to, you know, I wanted the whole thing to have this quality of, you know, could it be real? You know, and for people who really do know the history, I wanted it to be fun in that way of seeing things that they recognized, like figuring out what I changed and what I used from real history. But yeah, he I made up, and I wanted it to have, you know, part of the purpose of having him, you know, on some level this book is like a man and a woman talking to each other. And so I wanted it him to be like a very real person, not a famous person, not a person who
right
preserved in history, but just,
well, he's a great character too. I mean, he's, well, it's, and I think if we talk about him too much, we'll give away story, so, you know, but it's important that, you know, I'm assuming most people listening to this have, you know, they will not have read the book yet, so we want, and the book has some, shall we say, plot twists and things happen that I think it's really important to read the story to learn them for yourself. So I don't want to give away too much. And I think his character, because you need, you know, he plays a particular role that may not have happened in real life. He's the one that is, you know, he's pretty important to the story. And I'm afraid if we talk about him even a little bit, it'll end up giving away storyline.
Yes, right you are. Thank you for having me.
So we'll just say there's this great character, Agent Walls, who plays an FBI agent who's, I think he has an obsession too. I mean, he's obsessed with her and with who she could be or really is, And you've let set a trap for him in that he, you know, as you did say earlier on, that that's sort of the conceit of the book. So we can talk about that, that she's spying for the Russians. I think that's the setup, and that kind of gives you, you know, an idea of where this could head, especially since Kennedy's involved and it's the Cold War and, you know, pretty important time between the Russians and the Americans.
Yeah. Indeed, and I think you're exactly right that he's obsessed. And I you know, in researching Marilyn, I would come across books where I could see that people, and you know, I certainly felt that way as I was writing this book and reading about her. And I came across other writers where I could tell that they, you know, they had become obsessed. It explained everything to them, and you know, and I think that's really interesting, both. You know, in terms of what her persona does, how it works, and I also think it's very particular. It's sort of a key to the time period. You know, there's in the FBI file that they really did keep. There's a description of Marilyn going to Mexico late. Does not make it into my book, but you know, Marilyn going to Mexico late in her life and meeting with communists and you know, in the way that J. Edgar Hoover was kind of obsessed with celebrity and did use that in his, you know, obviously he used it tactically, but the obsession with celebrity was, and the paranoia about it was so of the time and of the era.
Well, that's absolutely true. And it was, and of course we are re-experiencing that today, even though it's done differently, you know, it resonates for, you know, the idea that government may know more about us than we realize.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I mean, there is a certain way. The legend of J. Edgar Hoover in its way is, there's plenty in there that's abusive and distasteful, but then there are other ways in which it seems kind of like homely and modest compared to what goes on today. So
that is true.
Who knows?
So does the way that you did this book, is that something that you're interested in doing? I mean, I don't mean writing the same book again, and it, you know, but the idea of finding a person, a real person, and trying to create a fictional story that is based in the life of a real person, is that interesting to you to do again, or is it that having done it once, you want to write something completely different next?
I did really enjoy taking kind of a familiar story and trying to, you know, turn it upside down in a way. And it also, you know, it gives you a lot to work with too, which is cool. I don't know. I mean, I'm wary of repeating myself, of course. And I think it's, you know, it would be a good challenge to just begin with something new. I think mostly you want to, whether you are reinventing the life of somebody who is known or beginning totally fresh with your own character, you want to be in good company. So if I were to do it, it would have to be a person who I wanted to spend time with. And as it happens, you know, as I found out, Marilyn was a really fun person to spend time with in my imagination.
Were there any characters in the book that you felt were not fun, that you didn't want to spend time with, even though they had to be there?
Yes. How to answer this question without giving away too much? I mean, almost everybody. I liked, you know, that there are only two point of view characters, but writing the dialogue for the various known people who you mentioned before, that was really fun. Like I didn't actually realize that it would be fun to write dialogue for Frank Sinatra and Peter Lawford, but it really was. And there's a scene, this gives away nothing, but there's a scene between Marilyn and Clark Gable which was one of the most like fun days I've ever had writing in my entire life, you know. There is, you know, she is being manipulated by a KGB agent, and that was really the most challenging, because it was, you know, like a very difficult relationship, and that was not always fun, and I think in part because it felt like I was putting my character in danger.
Which you were.
Which I was.
Yeah. Well, no reason to like that particular character. I can see that. Yeah. I mentioning Clark Gable, I will give you a lot of credit. I thought he was terrific in the book. You know, you were so sympathetic about to him as a character, as a human being. And I thought that was really nice. I mean, he comes off really as one of the great people, you know, not just a great character. He's just, you know, you've made him very, you've made him very human. I really appreciated that.
Thank you. Yeah, those chapters were a joy to write, the ones with him. And I think it's, you know, I don't know if this is actually true, but one of the stories that Marilyn told was that when she was a child, her mother showed her pictures of different men saying that they were her father. And whether this is a sort of a story that she just made up or whether it's true or not, I think it has great resonance. But apparently one of the pictures was of Clark Gable, and perhaps she did actually think of him as a kind of father figure. But I think she certainly the character in my book, and I think perhaps the historical Marilyn thought of him as a father figure in that way. And I think a lot of people of that generation did.
Yes, the swashbuckling father.
And I think also, I think so much of the Marilyn story is the misogyny of the movie industry at the time, and there are many ways in which you can say she was a victim of that. But I think that men and women are both victims of that, and I think that having to have great female characters, you need great male characters. So I was thinking about that in writing Clark Gable too.
Yeah, that makes sense. It gives you it gives you a counterpoint.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I love the book. It was really fun to read.
Thank you so much.
And while I don't necessarily want you to repeat yourself, if you were to find another historical character, I think I would like to read that book.
Cool, thanks. Well, if you have any suggestions of who that would be.
Right, I'll think about that because, it would be interesting. It's hard to find, you'll probably never find anybody contemporary with quite the resonance and power as Marilyn and Jack Kennedy. But I think you're right that the writing through the historical character gives you a lot to work with, and there's just so much to imagine. I think it's got to be wonderful for a writer.
Yeah, I hope this book is as much fun to read as it was to write, because it was really, as soon as I had it, it was all I wanted to do and all I wanted to think about. It was a very, exciting and entertaining place to be in the world of this book while writing it. So.
Well, I think you succeeded. I did feel that, and I think that's an interesting point that when you read a book, if the writer is, in some way excited and thrilled, that's going to come across in your engagement with your characters. Certainly came across to me. So
thank you.
Very well done.
That is good news.
Well, thank you so much for doing this conversation. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely, it was a pleasure. Taking the time.
No, my pleasure. This has been Writer's Cast, a podcast about books and authors. I'm David Wilk. We've been talking to Anna Godberson, the author of The Blonde.